Bienvenidos, damas y caballeros. Welcome back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Sending questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. But for Freeform Radio, I am one of your hosts. My name is Daniel. My other two guys here today is Andy.
It's all good, Andy here, and hope everybody's washing their hands and their asses.
And your dick.
I think you just got to make sure it still stands up, but that is one of the symptoms.
It is an orifice, you know. Yes. You're supposed to wash any orifices and keep them clean. and Noel.
Such a weird way to start, like, passing it to me. But, yeah, how's everybody doing? Hope you're all doing great. Sorry about the penis jokes right before my name's being called, but you do.
Well, I mean, it's weird, man. We're as the rest of the world, when you hear this, we're still in COVID lockdown. We're still dealing with its ramifications to the economy, to social interactions, and just the way it's affecting everybody. So it's still the conversation on everybody's lips. It's still, you know, number one on all the news sites and all social media. So we're going to be talking about that. But I don't know, man. There's times that I do want to jest and have jokes, kind of take my mind off of it. But then there are times where people joke and joke and joke, and I'm just like, dude, this is serious, man. You know, people are dying kind of thing. So I don't know, man. My moods change frequently as far as COVID and some of its coverage. But what do you guys think?
Well, personally, I think the coverage we're getting is not always like a balanced view. Sometimes there's bias to it. You know, yep. There's a lot of that out there, man. It's almost too much. It's part of the reason why I don't like keep up with it as much as everyone else. I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on all this Facebook shit. Just trying to kind of see what people are saying about it, because most people are uninformed, and those that are informed are sometimes misinformed. So it's like you just gotta. I'm gonna wait and let some time pass, and then let like myself really go through all the different news media and see what's probably more likely, what's probably more real, and stay away from all the bias for now.
Well, exactly. The information that's coming out of the mainstream media, it is kind of misleading. And some of it's to blame with the government. Some of it is with the hatred towards the orange man, the president, because Trump derangement syndrome is like, it's fucking insane. And he does some of it's, you know, it's fucking Trump. He's pumping his brand, but also there's truth into some of what he's saying. And just they're so pissed at him. It's just like they're just fucking making up shit, or he's throwing shit out, and they're just like, this is all bullshit. And like there's some stuff that's actually valid. And, you know, and one of the things that I would we kind of talked about it before, or kind of before jumping on with Danny earlier in the day. I mean, the initial numbers that were coming out from the CDC, I believe, or the government, I can't recall. It was something like 2 million plus deaths. They were scaring everybody. And as of right now, I think it's, what, 22,000 of this recording in the United States. And we don't even have 2 million confirmed cases in the world at the time of the recording. So, I mean, I don't know. That's why I'm getting a little annoyed. And me being like a metrics guy, data, some of the numbers are thrown out. There's just super vague. And then some of the initial quabbling between some of the states and the federal government is just these numbers that were thrown out. And now they have a surplus of everything and open beds. And I'm like, well, what the fuck's going on? That's where I get frustrated.
And then you don't know if all the other governments are reporting correct numbers. Yeah. They could very well be hiding how many cases they have, or hiding if it's like actually, you know, getting better. There's just so much misinformation right now. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. And you know, and people, and I get it. They're trying to politicize it and so forth, but everybody across the world has been everything has not been reported down from the World Health Organization, with the way they say China handled this and the numbers I think they came out of China are BS. You're starting to see, you know, what was happening in Italy and so forth, and like parts of, you know, Spain and Europe. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't even know what to fucking believe. And everybody's like, well, U.S. is number one in cases, but America, I mean, from what I read, they came up with a new way to test, and everybody else is still using the way the World Health Organization came out with. So I don't know, the fucking, and like I said, there's a bunch of people infected. We don't know how many of them are at home, how many are at the hospital, how many need ventilators. And like, none of this is just these fucking vague numbers out there. And I think it sends everyone into a panic. And I think we're starting to see, yeah, they were early on, they're issuing people with underlying conditions, obesity, diabetes, hypertension, heart disease. Those people are in rough shape. And then you're starting to see numbers now where in certain parts of the country, it's really attacking African Americans. But then you see the numbers of what they came up with. They had a lot of underlying issues like diabetes and heart disease. And I mean, those are numbers that you need to see, because obviously what's coming out of all this, I believe, is there's a real health issue in the United States when it comes to how people take care of themselves. I mean, that's for down the road. But basically it comes down to a lot of people in this country are unhealthy. Yep. And we eat a lot of crap, and that's not helping. I mean, we all love eating. We all got our guilty pleasures. But I think coming out of this, they got to be some lifestyle changes. I mean, because that's the numbers I want to see of people who passed on from this. It's like, okay, what did they have? What was the underlying condition? Because there's a lot of people that had the virus, but obviously it's not this high like death rate on it. But the people that passed away is people, I mean, what I've read so far, you know, like we just talked about, there's a lot of fake bullshit out there. It's like, were they obese, diabetic, heart conditions, respiratory issues, older people? Is just, that's what I want to see.
Well today it's April 15th, and here are the latest numbers in the U.S. total cases: 605,000 total cases, just under 25,000 deaths. And in the state of Illinois, there are just under 24,000 reported cases. And like you mentioned, reported. And actually, they just uploaded this a day or so ago. They started breaking down some of the demographics like you were talking about, Andy. And it's kind of interesting, man. It does show that a big percentage are white and African, being the majority of the people that are getting infected, and it is slightly in the middle towards older people. Like 68% of the cases are white males, 65 and older. And then like black and African, the highest percentage is 34% between 45 and 64. So that's their highest of 34% of the population. Now, Latino isn't in here, so I'm assuming we're categorized under white would be my assumption, or maybe other. But if it is other,
Latin was invented in Europe, so Latinos would be European, therefore white.
Right. I mean, it doesn't break it down here. I'm sorry. Yes, there is a Latino group. The Latino group, our highest percentage is 4%.
That's across and the country or the state?
This is saying demographic characteristics for COVID-19 cases in the United States as of April 14th. Okay. So Latinos, 4% is our highest bracket here, and it's between the ages of 18 and 44. Now, there are big percentages for unknown people that, you know, He's like, I'm not telling you if I'm male or female. I'm unknown.
Those are illegal aliens or aliens from outer space?
Maybe. So those aren't categorized. And there is a big percentage of people in that category, like 80% under the unknown category where they didn't know where to put them in. So there is a big percentage of people that aren't filling out or aren't really giving that information. But yeah, you're right, Andy. They were scaring people at first, saying that 2 million people could potentially die. And maybe that number was accurate if we didn't do shit. But with Trump, the president, closing down some China travel and then closing down some European travel after that and just kind of restricting a lot of movements, maybe that mitigated the number and made it to more of a, you know, like Noel kind of mentioned, you know, when we were talking off the air, something that is not as huge, you know, to be alarmed or anything surpassing how many people die of flu, of gunshot wounds, and et cetera.
Yeah, I read somewhere last year, I think it was 80,000 people died of the flu last year, or pneumonia or something. So, I mean, we're almost halfway there, and we're, what, a quarter, only a quarter has gone. So we'll see. I mean, you know, it's just some of the early numbers that you were hearing from in all the press conferences and all that was like 2 million plus, and they were coming with these models. And I was like, holy shit, like, this is going to be bad. And then as of, you know, the other day with the new, they were up there, you know, the curve is, we've flattened the curve some, and then, you know, there's hot pockets of it, hot epicenters like in New York and so forth. So, you know, I'm hoping it's working, but I'm hoping that's what slowed all this down, because I mean, what's coming, the effect of that is, you know, what's going on with the economy, man. I was reading that, you know, that every day this shutdown or quarantine or shelter in place, whatever you want to call it, goes on, the economy, the U.S., you're losing about $25 billion in production. So think about that. That's like you're devastating some businesses, you know, in this country for this. I mean, so we're giving up a lot here. I mean, to this point where I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like you said, I know it impacts everybody differently. I don't begrudge anybody if they want to wear masks, gloves, or anything, but we're paying a hefty price here financially. I mean, for people, after when we come out of it, people don't have jobs, that's a whole nother fucking hurdle and battle we're going to have to deal with.
You're right, man. It's confusing times right now. It's hard to know and predict what's going to happen, but it's one of those things you have to, it's out of our control, so you have to just take it as it comes. And hopefully, you know, we've been this country through many, many hurdles, you know, fucking depressions and recessions and all that. So I'm pretty sure we will get through it. With the technology we have now, it's got to be a better chance of survival than back in the day. You know, there was no one, there wasn't half the jobs there is now back in the day, is kind of what I'm trying to say. Although there was more manufacturing back in the day, so it's kind of hard to tell. I'd actually like to see the numbers on that, to see how many jobs there were back in the day, 1920s to 40s, and how many there are now that the Industrial Revolution took off and technological revolution took off.
We're the Palo Alto, you know, that's the epicenter of the new jobs technology, you know, creation. When we started losing manufacturing jobs, like the U.S., the one thing about America, I mean, yes, we know America is not perfect, but goddamn, this country's has a lot of innovators. And when shit fucking doesn't work, they always create something new and something evolves. And that, you know, with the internet and all those tech jobs out in California and the websites, and that's what makes, I mean, that's the new sector of jobs that came up after our manufacturing went to fucking China. And now the Chinese are after that. You know, I was seeing a thing about how they go in there and they try to, they're not even trying to steal it. They're just, they got so much money. They're trying to buy out or buy into companies in an early, early in development and just try to just fucking get in there and take what they need. And ultimately they either buy it out or they'll steal it, but they're just buying themselves in there, you know? And that's the new war that's going on with jobs, and that, you know, but I think with this, what happened now, I think a lot of finally politicians are starting to see you just can't rely on China with, you know, but then the new word, everybody, you know, your new supply chain, that's the new word you fucking hear everywhere in the news, to you can't rely on other countries to make everything for you. And I think, you know, with the prescriptions and everything else, I think a lot of the Europe and the United States, the Western countries, just said, fuck this. I think they're going to start pulling out and maybe go to India or Mexico or back to the United States or their own countries, because they've had enough of this shit.
Right. I think that's been a problem for a while now. And it seemed like President Trump was working on, you know, increasing tariffs and trade agreements, making them a little bit more fair to where, if you did want to fabricate and manufacture outside of the United States, you had to pay a fee to bring it back into the States and sell it here. To that way, maybe entice companies to bring it back to the U.S. to, you know, kind of eliminate some of these taxes and tariffs and extra fees that they would pay to bring the product back and sell it in the U.S. So, yeah, I agree, man. I think it shows you that when you farm out things, it's outside of your control. You're at the beck and call of the rest of the world and the capabilities of wherever you're buying it.
And the other thing is, you're technically in a cold war with this country that produces everything for you, all because they have cheap labor. Granted, now the Chinese, I'll give them this, they're more efficient than here in the United States. They know how to get shit done. I'll give them that. But when you're a fucking communist and, you know, you tell these people they're scared, what the fuck are they going to do, man? You know, people, that's why they had where you make your iPhones, they had suicide nets, because they were just like, they're there like 16-hour days making $1 an hour or whatever the hell they were making, you know, and just they couldn't take it no more. And like, being there, like, oh man, people are killing themselves. Let's just put nets there so we'll save them and put them back to work. I think about that shit. Light of it, it's fucked up. And I hopefully the rest of the world recognizes that, you know, China, not the people, but the government, it is a problem, and it's they created a monster. And I think hopefully it's not too late, but. Real quick, man, we're like a fucking round table here, man. We need some cigarettes. This is all fucking super serious and shit. I'm thinking it's like a dimly lit room with just one light and everybody having cigarettes and just talking about, like, do you see a labor crisis in the United States, sir? You know, some bullshit. But super serious, man. I didn't think Freeform Network had it in them and us to be so fucking serious.
Well, let me ask you this, just to maybe change or kind of keep it in the same topic. Do you think sports, you know, diversions that people do, go to concerts, go to the movies, do you think that's going to come back in 2020? Or is this something that is going to be pushed out? Because I was reading somewhere that they're not expecting a vaccine or something until maybe 2021.
The only thing I've read is, I think Fucci said something, if they want sports, you can't have fans. I read that today somewhere, I think on Yahoo. So, and it won't, they prefer to be somewhere warm or hot, and then you could go from there. But, you know, that's the only thing I read, and, you know, I don't see baseball, maybe, like, they're going to play some shortened season out in Arizona or something, or in Florida, I was reading, and just go from there in front of no one, just TV people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what your thought is, Noel. I know you're not a big sports guy, but you do go to the movies and other things. Do you think that stuff is going to come back eventually this year or not?
No, not in any like substantial form, like not in any amount that you're going to see like, getting toward like what it used to be, like the normal. It's probably going to drop off substantially to like freaking crazy. I don't know if you guys ever watched the YouTube channel, The Quartering, but there's this guy on the channel who he covers all different kinds of topics on entertainment, video games, etc. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's political. Most of the time it's just about like, you know, op-ed kind of things. Anyway, he was kind of discussing how he believes that after this is all over, people aren't going to want to go to the movie theater anymore the way they used to. People aren't going to want to go to concerts and sporting events the way they used to. And there might be some people that don't give a shit. Like, they're going to be like, whatever, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. But
YOLO.
Yeah, but there's going to be a vast majority that are probably going to stay at home and watch it on TV instead.
Yeah, yeah. I know AMC, I read somewhere, they said that if this continues on any further, that they might have to declare bankruptcy because they can't afford to keep the business running.
AMC?
I thought it was AMC.
The theater chain.
Oh, gotcha.
Not the channel, the theater chain.
But yeah, you're right, man. If, you know, what would they do? Like restrict seats so that you're at least 6 feet apart. But then I'm now reading new things that saying 6 feet might not be enough, you know, that your breath and your funk, you know, it like goes in the air and it like lingers.
There might be a guy jerking off and droplet everywhere, you know.
Right. Yeah, so you don't know what's going on in that theater, you know. There's popcorn, people, you know, hiding their shit, you know, you don't know what's going on.
People be fucking in the last row, man. You don't know. It gets kind of crazy back there. You don't know what could happen in the heat of the moment, you know.
Jesus Christ. It's like you've only got two levels, serious and X-rated.
we jump all over the place. We ain't going to let the coronavirus slow us down here. But yeah, I think theaters are done. Sports will rebound because they got that TV money and people can as long as you can gamble, I think sports will be around. Movies, as we know it, going to theater, I think it's pretty much done. They're going to be pushing all that. What they always talk about, the digital platform, you know, pushing digital or as it premieres at home. And
they just gotta drop the prices, man. I don't know if you've seen some of them because they released I think Disney was the one that, and there's a few comic book companies that are releasing like comic books and movies and stuff early that were supposed to go on theaters, but obviously they can't go, so they released it digitally. But the prices were actually expensive, man, compared to like if you were to actually go to the theater, you know.
I'm pretty sure they had.
I was just gonna say, I think that Trolls movie came out digitally. And if I remember right, I read somewhere it was like $25 to get the movie. Yeah, to get the digital, or I don't know, maybe to buy it. I don't quite recall. Now, granted, $25 for a viewing of a movie is not that bad because when you go to the theaters, you're paying, you know, $10 the cheapest for a movie ticket each. So me and my family, I got three, so that's $30 there plus popcorn, drinks. You're dropping $60 just to go to the movie. So,
but that's, you know, an experience. That's
right.
THX surround sound. You know what I mean? Super huge screen, not like fucking. Well, everybody's setup is different. I don't know.
Right. It's not apples for apples, but, you know, $30 versus spending $60. Granted, like you said, it's a different experience. Big screen, big sound. It's the environment, the crowd. It's different, right? But I don't know. Maybe
movie theater. Think a girl's going to want to go back to your house to rent a movie, and then it's going to be like, this motherfucker's cheap. It's like, I ain't going to give it up.
But maybe it'll go the way of like drive-ins where there'll be a few theaters here and there.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a niche thing, but the majority is going to go digital.
That'd be interesting to see drive-ins come back because of this. I would actually enjoy that.
I did read somewhere that there's only like one drive-in that's in close proximity and by where we live that's left. And I heard that they are planning to be up and running for the summer, and that due to people watching them in their cars, that might be the only restriction, that they don't let people get out of your car and experience it on the outside, that you would have to stay in your vehicle, or they would put some kind of restrictions between how close you can be to the next car next to you if you do want to get outside.
That'd be cool. Yeah. I could see that happening, that working out. I think what's going to suffer a lot is concerts. Supposedly all the festivals in Chicago are canceled for the year.
Damn. Right. The Taste of Chicago, stuff like that.
They already canceled all that?
I believe so. I could be wrong, but I thought I saw a headline. I didn't look into it. I see so many headlines. I'm just like, whatever. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. But yeah, if you look into it, I think there's going to be a lot of cancellations for Chicago.
I did read something along them lines that the CDC or somebody was recommending that all concerts be canceled going into 2021. So yeah, it'll be crazy.
A lot of people were suggesting like virtual concerts, virtual museum tours, virtual everything. Dude, I'm just like, what the hell? What's going on? How far can you get with virtual stuff with that?
Right, man.
It's you might as well just fuck, man. I mean, that's not dumb, but I get it. I think that's like to a level. Even if they, let's say they do come up with a vaccine, I don't think I would even take it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Hell wow, no,
so,
man.
So these guys wouldn't take it?
Nah. I don't even take the flu vaccine right now, and I haven't gotten the flu in like, I think I took the vaccine, the flu shot, 10 years ago, and I got real fucking sick, and I said, I'm never taking this shit again, and I haven't gotten sick ever since. I haven't gotten the flu. I've gotten some colds, but I haven't gotten the flu.
Wow, that's going to be interesting, just because I did hear in some conspiracy places that they're going to make it mandatory, but I don't really think they can do that.
Yeah, Bill Gates, man. I don't know who the fuck made him a doctor and said, you got to take this vaccine.
But I did read somewhere that in order to get the economy going back and reopening, that they might start testing for antibodies, and that if you do pass that screening or the test, that they're going to flag you or give you some kind of like ID to tell you, I have the antibodies for this, so that as you start going back to work, you'll have to present it. You know, there'll be some kind of requirement that if you want to go to Walmart or if you want to go to here, you have to have an antibodies ID card or some kind of certification.
I read about this in the Bible, bro. Mark of the Beast.
I don't think that's a good idea, man. That's a slippery slope right there. That's right up there with the Nazis marking all the Jews because they thought they were, you know, unclean. Which is no good. Unclean, right. Yeah. Like tainted. Right. I think that's going to just stir a lot of just turmoil, man. Nothing good's going to come of that, I don't think. But yeah.
Right. I mean, but I know the majority or a good portion of the Americans are not going to like that. We enjoy our freedoms. We enjoy to be able to do, you know, basically whatever the hell we want to do. But is it something that's going to be required to give people peace of mind? I mean, before 9/11, we didn't have to do body scans. And now people do it almost like nothing. You know, they don't even think about it. Some people still go and they hand and pat, you know, so they can grab your nuts and make sure that you don't grab nothing.
Your dick, dude. They did that to me.
Right. But
that's a fucking assault, but the government can do it.
Right, but there's tons of Americans that get scanned and they don't care. And to me that seems ridiculous, but now it's become so natural that people don't even talk about it. Well, is this going to be the same way?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're putting, like we were talking about earlier, like the recording, and you're hearing all this stuff come up. If the death toll doesn't rise too much, I think there'll be more pushback, but if the numbers, let's say it's 50,000 before the year is over, I think people are going to be fucking pissed. And then the other thing is, like, I was reading today here where I live, in the suburbs that I live, that the police are getting names of people who tested positive, like in these circling communities, and they're not, I don't want to say they're monitoring, but they know who has it, and then they could check, you know, to see, or they could go drive by to see if you're at your house if you tested positive. You know what I'm saying? Like, isn't that illegal? Like, isn't that like some HIPAA law thing where you can't be telling people what conditions, or the doctors or hospitals, they can't share that with other people unless you give them permission to. And they just did it. The hospitals or the county, I forgot, they gave that information out willingly. And then they put some statement, oh, well, we're going to have this for a month. And after a month, all this gets destroyed. But how the fuck? You also said when they were going to do your body scans at the federal government, and when you do the body scans at the airports, those pictures, those naked pictures that you're going to get fucking deleted. And it was stored. Everything was stored somewhere. And like, it's a slippery fucking slope, man. Like, the privacy is completely out the window. And to me, that's like a fucking lawsuit. If you get tested and you test positive and they just give it to fucking the police, like, don't you have to have warrants and all this shit, or some type of legal ease to say you can't just hand that information out?
Could it be that maybe it's written in some of those like national emergency procedures?
That's what I was thinking. Like, I don't know if federally, if they declared an emergency or not, but I know in the state of Illinois they did. So does that fucking mean, I mean,
they have extra power?
They have extra power for this information? Like, that's what I don't understand. But to me, I think the liability, if they do, I know in Illinois they declared emergency, they might not be liable for that type of shit, because they're going to say they're protecting the police officers, so they know who, if they have to deal with someone, they might have the virus. That's how they're putting it. It's the safety for the officers. But I'm like, you're a cop, dude. You go to work every day. You don't know, you know, there's going to be danger every day, so you got to be ready. And I'm pretty sure they give them the tools for them to protect themselves, I'm hoping. But to me, that's a little extreme.
Right. I was like, reading. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just a quick thought. Even AIDS patients or AIDS sufferers, they don't have to identify, right? They don't have to say, hey, I have AIDS, but I'm around you right now. Just be aware of that, right?
I don't think so. There's
like, I've never had anybody tell me that. So.
Well, I mean, you do if you're in a profession where there's a possibility that you'll expose your blood or fluids. You know, so like if you're a boxer, if you're a porn stars, yeah, you know, basketball, sports, stuff like that, something where there could be a collision, an injury that would expose your blood to somebody else, then you do have to disclose that you have.
Like MMA fighters, do they have to submit to that stuff? Or like an AIDS test? I don't know.
As far as I know, yes. Any kind of like place where you could, you know, hepatitis, stuff like that, not just AIDS, but hepatitis. If you have these things and you are in a sport or in some kind of profession where you can possibly, you know, put your fluids onto somebody else, then you have to disclose that.
UFC is not going to disclose, oh, we're not going to have this fight because this guy has hepatitis. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's other ways around it, but legally, they can't disclose that.
Yeah, I don't think they could disclose it to the public, but internally, they are aware of who has what as part of a business, you know, or your contract. You know, when you sign your contract, you must disclose this these three or four illnesses if you do have them, so that we could be aware.
I think, yeah, in the UFC, I think they would definitely announce it. And I think even publicly, they could do it, because there was a woman who was pregnant and fought, and they announced it to everybody. Like, everybody was aware of that. Like, yeah, she's pregnant, but she's in the fight anyway.
In UFC?
Yeah. Look it up.
Was it like early on, like the first week or something?
I think it was, yeah. There's no way it was later. It had to have been like the first trimester. I think that's why they allowed it or something.
I think Andy was referring to the beginning of UFC, or this was just recent, like in the last 10 years?
I think the last 10 years, yeah. Within the last probably 4 years. Oh, four or 5 years.
Shit.
It's like WWE, there's some backlash, and I read that they had some people at their facility test positive, but they didn't disclose the name. and there's a big hoopla there of some of the workers don't want to work, and the owners are like, no, you got to work, we're essential, and there's some big hoopla about that too. And like anybody else in these companies, you know, that work, I mean, the company can tell you someone tested positive, but they're not going to tell you who tested positive, because you can't. That, I know that's illegal.
Well, at least now, but yes, the laws change, especially when people get scared and the government touts, hey, we're going to do this for safety, we're going to do this to protect people, the children, we need to do these things. Then that's when all these radical laws get put into place where they can expose this information and your privacy gets attacked.
Man, man, the damn Shycoms, fucking Chinese letting this shit go, man. It's bullshit.
I mean, I don't want to get too conspiracy, but I read something else as well about how Apple or cell phone companies are working, like Google, Apple, and Samsung, that they're working with the government to create an ID identification mark for each cell phone. And as you travel from place to place, if you get identified as having COVID, they will be able to access your GPS records and find out what places you went, so they can contact, hey, this guy went to Jules in Merrill's Park. So now they got to contact Jules and be like, hey, you got to let everybody know that a guy that had COVID was in your establishment. And then
they're like, they're going to be like, why didn't you go to the Joe and Franklin Park? That's closer. Interesting.
Right. But they're going to have the ability to track. And I'm not sure if you saw the movie Outbreak, where they have like this spider diagram.
The monkey? You know,
yeah, where they're trying to find like patient zero. And they kind of have to do like all this CSI shit to figure out who had contact with what. And he's just like, all right, that guy was the guy that spread it to these five people. And that will amplify that research so that they can find out how the disease and who has it, to be able to quarantine groups of people and be like, hey, if you were in Midway Airport on April 16th at 6 o'clock, there was somebody that was infected, please report for testing so that you can be cleared to say that you do have the disease or not, and that's the way that they're going to move forward with this thing in the coming months.
Shit, I guess we're going back to the old Nokias.
Right, yeah.
Seriously,
I don't know
if Nokia, man, was in there. It's fucking scary. I mean, fucking phone, they already listen to you fucking shit, and they're probably recording it too. So I don't know, man. And we, you know, it's, I mean, we all know what phones can do, and you know, it's just, I mean, it's the times we live in. I mean, you got an option to either fucking do it or you don't. And like, that's why I was talking about earlier, you know, Bill Gates is, for whatever reason, he's pushing this fucking vaccine, and his organization, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation or whatever. And they're like, I'm like, what the fuck? This guy's not even a fucking doctor, you know? And like, he wants pushing a vaccine, and it's just like,
supposedly he didn't even vaccinate his own kids.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's fucking, this is insane, dude.
Like, how's he gonna, yeah, I was reading about that. One of my cousins posted something, because she doesn't believe in vaccinations, and so she didn't vaccinate her kids, I don't think. But Bill Gates supposedly didn't either. But he's pushing this shit hard.
Right. And what if they make the vaccine a requirement, that you have some type of paperwork saying that you're vaccinated? Otherwise, if you're not, you can't go to work. You can't fly in an airplane. You can't cross the borders. You know, what if they start having requirements like that?
Then that's not a free country, man. So I don't think you can do that.
When you're going to start seeing like a fucking civil war or something. Because
yeah.
There's a lot of countries, or I'm sorry, a lot of states. I mean, besides the, you know, the East Coast and the West Coast and Chicago, I mean, super, you know, big cities. But I think like Texas and all some of the flyover states, as we call them, they're not gonna go for that. And maybe parts of the South. So, I mean, if you look at it, it's gonna be It's going to be fucking interesting. I hope it doesn't come down to that, but, you know, it's fucking scary when you start breaking down stuff, and it's, as I said, like, hopefully this shit just passes, and hopefully we don't need a vaccine. I'm taking my zinc and my tonic water, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, I mean, works require you to take drug tests and background checks, crime record checks, stuff like that, so...
Hey, yeah, marijuana is legal, so how does that work, then?
Well, I mean, now that it's being legal, if it does come up in a test, I'm assuming that they don't, that's not a reason to not hire you now. But, you know, who knows how long that stigma is going to last where people don't hire you because, you know, you have marijuana in your, you know, blood test or whatever.
Well, the other ones that will be losing out because, I mean, it's pretty much common knowledge now that marijuana doesn't make you a bad person. So. If they want to lose out on a potential great employee just because of something like that, some old stigma that's outdated, shit, that's more power to them. Hopefully they're still in business.
Right.
It's hey, just like the people who don't, they don't want to vaccinate the kids, the vaxxers or whatever they call them. I mean, that grew in the last decade or more. I mean, that thing just exploded. I think you'll be shocked how many kids are not vaccinated until schools really started pushing it. And then right. They started doing their own thing, like homeschooling and going through other methods. And I think you're going to start seeing that type of push coming where people are, which is a good thing. I think people should be more self-reliant. Don't wait for the government to come and save you, because when you do, you're going to get fucked. That's why people, you know, You're reading about how fucking seeds are like sold out everywhere and they can't keep up with them, because I think people are going to start growing their own shit, like have more gardens and be more mindful of what they eat, because they know, you know, it's a bad situation. And I you're going to start seeing two camps form, and you know, we'll go from there.
Well, this all stems from, like I said earlier, misinformation. There's just, it's difficult now to trust even doctors, because there's people that they started out as doctors or medical professionals and they change into businessmen and women. And because of that, we don't trust doctors the way we used to. We don't trust vaccines the way we used to. I myself, when I went to school, I got the polio vaccine. I got the tetanus shot, you know, there's a certain number that you have to get. I don't know if that did anything to me, good or bad, but I know I never had polio and I never had tetanus, any of those, so that's a good thing. But I think with the way technology has evolved and the way we're able to, I guess, understand more complex things that back in the day maybe we didn't, I think it's possible if the doctors explain it thoroughly enough and tell you, this is what you're getting, this is what's in the vaccine, this is what it's going to do to you, this is why you need it, maybe people will come around. But hopefully it doesn't come to civil war. That would be absolute worst case scenario. But we'll see what happens. Well,
to me, I think fear is a great method for persuasion. And, you know, with fear, people will do anything. They tell you, hey, if you don't do this thing, your kids are going to die. If you don't get this vaccine, your brothers and sisters, people that you love are going to die. How many people are not going to flock to that, man? You know, I know you guys are saying that you wouldn't take the vaccine now, but, you know, things don't look too grim right now, at least as far as numbers go. But let's say this thing starts getting crazy because they reopen everything and things start getting out of control again. What if this is the only salvation that we have, that you have to get vaccinated? Do you roll your dice and pray that you don't get sick, or do you go get vaccinated just to give you some peace of mind that there's less thing that can kill you?
I probably wait it out, let some other people take the the bullet first and see what's going on.
I'm gonna avoid getting it as much as I can. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't trust it. I mean, I don't have kids, but I mean, that's discussions I've had with my wife about if we have a kid, ever getting vaccinated. We've had some discussions about that. So if I wouldn't do it, why wouldn't, what am I gonna do with my kid? Like, And that's a big debate, like, about polio and some other shit. So, I mean.
Well, I know they make it hard for people that don't get vaccines. I know that when Junior was younger, we held off on, I think it was like two vaccines. I forget what the name of them were. But in our research, they were strong conversations that they might cause autism. So we were holding off on giving them these, I think it was like two or three vaccines. I don't quite remember anymore. And we held off and held off, and we passed the date. You know, I forget what age it was, but let's say 3 years old. We held off, and he became four and then even five. And the school would not allow us to enroll him into public school without these vaccines. And then even the doctor at that point, since so much time had passed, he started kind of hinting to, I might not be able to see him anymore if he doesn't have this vaccine, because I need it to ensure that my other patients don't get sick from your son or whatever, you know, that you don't contribute to spreading it. And like you mentioned, Noel, I know people that are really anti-vaccines, and they have to private school their kids. They have to do all these extra measures, because if you go to public school, they don't allow you to go there if you don't, or if your kid is not fully vaccinated, you didn't visit, that you visit the dentist, you got to have all these requirements. Otherwise, you can't enroll your kid into school.
That's tough, man. The toughest thing is not knowing what's exactly in those vaccines, what they exactly do. So that's the tricky part about it. Maybe they won't affect them negatively. Maybe they will. I don't know. Hopefully, I mean, if you think about it, with this whole Mark of the Beast stuff, the conspiracy theorists, you would think, well, what about the other vaccines? What are those, the previous Marks of the Beast that are no longer valid? Like, we need the new Mark of the Beast? Like, you know, it doesn't make any sense, man. So it's like there's just so much misinformation going out there. People just spouting a bunch of BS. We need somebody that knows the truth, that can present it in a way that we can understand it, and then just make an educated choice.
Damn right. That's what FFN is here for.
Yeah, listen to us. We know what the fuck we're doing.
Hey, I got a question. I got a question for you guys. What do teams do, like baseball teams? Let's say you signed a pitcher for a one-year deal. What happens to those teams now that this year is basically scrapped and you can't really salvage this year? Do you spend, you know, that $5 million for a player that didn't really even get to play this year?
I wonder if that's written in the contract, right?
It's guaranteed money, so you get paid no matter what. That's the difference between baseball and NBA contracts. Those are guaranteed. NFL, a lot of them is you get your salaries based off of performance. If you play games, how many games you start, like all that shit. The only thing that's guaranteed in an NFL contract is the signing bonus. Hockey, I really don't know much about it. And so, I mean, it's performance-based. I just know in NFL. And MLB is, it's you're just, it's guaranteed money in MLB and NBA.
Shit, if it was the WWF in the 80s, you wouldn't get paid shit.
That's performance-based, too, per show. And there's a lot of factors, like the how much the house, well, how many people actually paid and all this other bullshit. So,
nobody really had guaranteed back then.
Nobody. I think the only guaranteed was, I read one of the interviews I seen was they guaranteed pay was something like $800 a week. That was it. And their biggest payday was WrestleMania, because they shared in the revenue. He would divvy it up between some of the performers, and he would just go, here's your money. And they're like, oh, shit. Like, they make, it was like 3/4 of their salary of the year was their WrestleMania payday.
Damn.
So yeah, that's why when Dana was trying to buy an island, I'm just like, he doesn't, I wonder when does he, when is he gonna, like, I was like, man, what about liability issues and all this other shit? Like, that's gonna be interesting to see how he handles that, if he was gonna have this show at a fucking island. Like, what happens if someone gets hurt really bad? What are you gonna do? Are they gonna let them fly back into the United States, or like, what the fuck would happen? You know?
Yeah, it was crazy time, man. Because he was just desperately trying to save this fight, which I actually looked into it a little more. There was a new article today that there's gonna be fights in May. I think it's guaranteed. Like, this is happening in May. And there's going to be a huge card, like a massive pay-per-view. More than likely, he's trying to make back a lot of money. So they're trying to do this huge pay-per-view. And yeah, I don't know what would happen with that island, but I don't think they're going to go forward with that. So
no, their pay-per-view partner with Disney ESPN, they told him, knock it the fuck off. We're not going to do this. And he backed off, which was kind of shocking. So now, yeah, I read in May they are going to have fights. It's just they might be empty arenas or kind of like what WWE is doing. But I don't think there's going to be fans there.
Well, the good thing about UFC is, yes, you do make a lot of money in the, you know, the people that show up, but you're going to make tons of money on pay-per-views. You'd probably still make similar money, a lot of money with just the pay-per-view purchases. So let's see. But anyway, that wraps things up for today. Thank you so much for joining us on the Freeform Network. If you're not already, better follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network, on Twitter at FFR Podcast. And if you have a question, a suggestion, anything you want to let us know or drop us a line, email us to ffnquestions@gmail.com. From Freeform Radio, I am Noel, and we have Daniel.
Yes, sir. Stay safe, everybody. Wash your hands. Keep that social distancing.
And we have Andy.
It's all good. And yeah, stay safe. Let us know what y'all are going through, your stories, your quarantine stories, and you know, at ffnquestions@gmail.com.
And once again, we wish you to be safe. Have a great night and a beautiful tomorrow.
Dad.